We hope you enjoy listening to this weekly podcast from Lifeline Church. Find out more by visiting lifelinechurch.co.uk.
Good morning. Normally I'm hiding at the back, and I've somehow seemed to make it to the front twice this week, so quite unusual. I want to talk to you this morning under the topic, do you believe in miracles? We've already heard a story from Jess as what God's done for her and how he touched her life and has met with her and transformed her. Is that a miracle? Yes, speaking in tongues. Is that a miracle? Yes. So when Colby gives his testimony about his hands being healed, is that a miracle? Yes. So we're going to think today about how God works in our lives, which is beyond our own capacity of thinking, and to expand our expectation, particularly with the Accelerate conference coming up, as we think about what it is that we're looking for God to do, and how we might expand that imagination and expectation. Back in the day when there were churches in Tottenham, part of Lifeline was spread all over London, and I was in a group in London, in Tottenham. And I felt God say very clearly that I needed to move over this way so I could be closer to serve alongside John. So I moved over. The problem was I needed a new job. And I was a teacher. I've been teaching in Chesson. I've been in this job for 7 years. My boss didn't like me very much. He kind of held against me a lot of the things I did when I first arrived, which caused him a bit of inconvenience because I was a new teacher. And he wasn't an easy man to be with, and I knew that he wouldn't write me some very good references. And so I applied for some jobs over this way, and I think I went to one interview, and I walked into the school, and I thought, no, I'll be out the frying pan into the fire here. Looked around at some other opportunities, and it got to the date where in teaching in those days you have it was 2 months. You had to give your notice in. If you didn't give your notice in, it was at Easter, then you were stuck for another 6 months, just the way the notice system worked. And it got to the Thursday evening, and my notice was due in Friday morning, so I was home Thursday evening and thought, well, that's it, I'm stuck, no new job. And the phone rang. And is that Richard Griffin? Yes. I hear you're looking for a chemistry teaching job. I said, yes. Could you come for interview tomorrow morning? So suddenly I've got a phone call inviting me for an interview for a job that I hadn't applied for in a school that I had never heard of. Knowing that I was going with not the best references in the world because of the way I'd fallen out with my boss. So I went the next morning and they interviewed me. It was a long interview. But there was something they must have seen because they gave me the job. And I loved that school. It was just the right place for me. I just settled in there, and I just really felt it was a school where they would take students that had been expelled from other schools. They never expelled them again, because there was something about the way they looked after those kids. And a bit extra to that story, I was given a form tutor, and they gave me year nine, so the 14-year-olds. And they'd already had two form tutors, and they got through those quite nicely, and I was the next one. So they were ready for me. But God just gave me such a rapport with that class. And I can still remember their names, and I can still remember some of their faces, and I've taught a lot of children since then. But there was just something in what God did in giving me that relationship with those students in that class. It was into year 10, beginning of year 10, the head of the year came round, and we used to have silent reading in the morning, and she walked in the classroom, and they were all sitting there reading in total silence. And she looked at me and she said, you know, you've done a miracle with that class. And it's not me that did the miracle, it was God that did the miracle. And I think that I want to think about how it is that we can be struggling on in our lives to do things and to achieve, and the pressures that the world puts on us, And I went into that situation, I didn't apply for the job, I had bad references, and out of that situation, God took me into a school where I was able to feel comfortable. I actually got promoted 3 times in 2 years. So it was just a sense of God's provision at that time. And for me, that was a miracle. It was God's miracle. We're going to think this morning about a man who needed a miracle. I hope we are.
Is it on the side?
No. Okay. Oh. Technology, yeah. I thought I was quite good at technology. Okay. So there's a man named Jabez. Now Jabez, this is in 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9 to 10, and there's a whole list of genealogies, lots of names. And there's lots of names afterwards. But in the passage, it's just a pause. And in this pause, there's this little few verses about Jabez. And it says, I've got it in front of me, I don't need to turn around. There was a man named Jabez who was more honourable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Be pleased be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. And God granted him his request. Isn't that a lovely bit? And God granted him his request. Now, but he was born with a problem. His name was Jabez. Jabez meant pain. Now, that meant in those days when people had were born with a particular name, that name had a significance. And it kind of would help live up to, there's a sense where it puts an expectation on him. And it meant that people would assume, he was going to be a pain everywhere he goes. And it would mean, too, that he was going to live in pain and trouble. But he didn't accept this. He didn't accept this. This was the way it should be. And he said he was an honourable man. And he went to God and he asked God to do something different. And I think so often we get trapped into the worldly view of things, that the way our life starts puts labels on us. We start to battle through life or deal with the challenges that are imposed upon us, not always of our own fault or our own making. And as we go on through life, they just become just overwhelm us, and they get in the way of our being able to pursue what God wants for us. But he saw this. And he found a solution. And he went and asked God to change his circumstance and change his situation. Now, what he needed was a miracle. So what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to unpick the things he prayed for. Bless me. Expand my territory. Be with me in all that I do. And keep me from all trouble and pain. And we're going to look at each one, the first three particularly, and see how, when Jesus did miracles in the New Testament, what did it mean? We're just going to pick out what a blessing looked like. We're going to pick out what expand my territory might look like and what the significance would be with me in all that I do. So the first one's coming up. I hope. I think it's there. Yeah. The first one is coming up. It's actually in John, and I'm going to show the video of The Chosen. Now, The Chosen's taken this story out of context, but the miracle is still the same. So let's see where we go. Bless me. So we're looking at bless me. I'm not going to read that. Let's move on.
Put that down for the catch. A little farther out.
I don't have a quarrel with you, teacher, but we've been doing this all night. Nothing. All right. That's your word.
Take that side! No! Ah! Come on. Push it. Hold on.
Emma, bring it in.
Hold on. Push it. That's better.
What I like about that, I love that sketch. I can just watch that time and time again, that bit. It's just so much fun. And I like the bit where Jesus is having a good laugh as well. And I think God was having a good laugh at that situation. But I think, key points from that story. This is from John chapter 21, it is. So they went out on the boat, but they caught nothing all night. Then Jesus said, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some. Peter's reaction to that was, we've been out all night. What's the chances? Well, they actually got that interaction there. So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. And I think for me, the blessing in that is the abundance. There's always something extra. My job situation, God could have just given me a job, but he didn't just give me a job, he gave me so much more. And out of that blessing that I had, then it blessed me. Those kids were blessed because it brought some kind of order into their lives that they wouldn't have had. And God's been glorified now because I've told you all about it. So, blessing, God wants to bless us. He loves to bless us. And there's a sense of abundance in that. I think the other thing to note is these guys were fishermen. And what he was doing was giving them fruitfulness in the thing that he'd called them to do. Just remember, though, that the disciples have been called fishers of men. And I think that as we follow Jesus, we can have an expectation that God will bless us in the things that he's also given us to do outside of that. So, you know, work might be a challenge, but we can expect God to bless us in our work as we're pursuing the things that God wants us to do. If we get caught into the routine where we are fishing all night, and because we're fishing all night, we never meet with Jesus because we're too busy striving to do our jobs and do the thing that becomes a distraction from the purpose that God has for us. So what I'm saying is, as we pursue the things that God gives us to do, and there may be a struggle, it may be a cost to our job situations, our work situations, we need to work for money, but there's an expectation that God will bless us and make us fruitful in that. And I think that God wants to give us a new sense of faith for our work situations and what he puts us in, that we expect them to be fruitful. We don't expect it's always going to be a judge, because God will bless us. He's put us there for a purpose, and we want to see the fruitfulness of that in that. So the next one is expand my territory. And this we're going to read. So this is the feeding of the 5,000. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." Just pause a minute, okay? That's like you all saying we're thirsty, and me standing here, and Jesus then say, "Well, you give them something to drink." Well, I've got one bottle of water here, okay? It would take an awful lot of time to give you a drink and then keep filling it up so that you could actually get water. But imagine if what actually happened was I gave it to you and you passed it right around the meeting and it never ran out. Everybody got a drink from one bottle of water. That's the equivalent to what Jesus was asking them to do, okay? Their reaction was this: "But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here," he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven and blessed them. And breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and the children. Can you see how that is a challenge to our mindsets, our Western mindset? Logical reaction: I've already got this child's lunch and you want me to feed 5,000 people. But what Jesus did, he was able to bless it and distribute it. Now my question when I was reading this, was that Jesus the man or was that Jesus God? And I think it's Jesus the man. I think that in our situations, we could do the same thing. We can look at the circumstances that God gives us, and the temptation always is to say, well, I will do this when I have enough time, when I have enough space, when I have enough capacity, I will do these things. But actually, the words from Jesus, when Jesus says, here, you do it, it's all you've got, you see the need, he showed them the need, they saw the need, what have I got in my hand to meet it with the expectation that God will actually expand that? When we, Sue and I got married, we moved into our first home. I never know whether we should have bought this place, but it was a tiny little flat. It had, our lounge was about 19 feet by 7 foot, and the rest of the place was really tiny. And then after 2 years, there was a huge economic crash and the property was worth half the value of what we paid for it. So we were well stuck at that particular point. Now, God did a miracle for us to get out of that, but that's another story. And I'm not telling that one this morning. But one of the things we did with that flat, it never became a restriction on what we felt God had given us to do. And we were youth workers at that time, so one time we had a Christmas party. In that little space, and I still don't know how we did it, we had 24 teenagers dancing in this small lounge. There was another occasion where we got a call out to a family where there was an abuse situation, and the mother and daughter had to come and needed somewhere to stay. So we just had them over. We were doing IVF at the time, and I was in the bedroom giving Sue injections, and we had these teenagers sitting in the front room, and a mother sleeping in our front room. What I'm saying is, that is God's part. I think that's part of God's miracle. It's a miracle in that God gave us the ability to use that place, although it was too small, to do the things that he'd given us to do. And I think there's a challenge to our mindset. Okay, it could be about passing a bottle of water around that never runs out, and I'm sure there'll be circumstances when that might happen, but actually what it's about is not looking at our situation and our circumstances and our resources and saying, I can't do this, God. I will do this when I've got a new job, when I've got new money, when I finish my exams, I will do it. But actually what he's saying is, take what you've got in front of you, okay, use it for the things I'm giving to you, and I will enlarge it. I will expand it. I will give you the time. I will give you the capacity that you need to do the things that I'm calling you to do. That's the miracle. We're living in the miracle of our experience with him. Okay. So the next one, and I want you to spot the difference in this story. What's the difference about this miracle? So be with me in all that I do. That's his prayer. So I should have got someone else to read this. Anyone want to read this for me? Andrew, can you read it? Hang on, you need to come to the mic. Can you read it on that bit of paper?
Yeah, sure.
The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee.
Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, that is not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. Standing nearby, there were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine, but you have kept the best until now.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. Wonderful. Great. Okay, so what's the difference in this story? What's the difference about this miracle? Spot the difference. Yes. Yeah. He dives straight in. In fact, in the other ones, Jesus initiated the miracle. In this one, he didn't. In fact, he didn't want to do it. But his mother did. And I think that is why is it that he did it? Because his mother asked him. Because I think there was a relationship there. There's a closeness. There was an intimacy. And if we are close in our walk with God, we can ask, we can see situations, we can look at the circumstances, and we can ask him to actually do something about it. We can actually say to him, Jesus, there's a problem here. God, Father, there's a problem here. You know, how can I solve this? So if you see a sick person, you go and pray for them. Now, he may be, because we're doing it together, he may say, well, actually, I'm not doing that one today. Okay, but on other occasions, he'll say, yeah, let's go for it, son. Let's go for it, daughter. Let's do it. And I think there's a part in our walk with him where we can actually initiate situations and circumstances. And because it's a relationship, it's not a slot machine. God is, we're not going in a shop under a transaction and, you know, I've got my money, God, so you need to do this. So we can never guarantee that God will do it. But we're in relationship. We're doing the thing together. And he will sometimes say yes with us, and he'll say, yeah, I'll do that. You can do, or say, you do that. And sometimes it's up to us. You know, sometimes he won't do it, and we'll walk with him in that situation. The other thing I think is worth noting is that in all these three stories, is the first one, we talked about an abundance of fish. The second one, there was food left over. And in this one, it was the best wine that was left to last. And that sense of God always blessing us. And he blesses, there was always a blessing, there was always more than was needed. There is a heart in him to want to do and to bless. And actually, he's waiting for us to ask. He's waiting for us to ask. One of the things that really struck me is in Genesis, we'll come back to that one in a minute, come into that minute. But Genesis, it talks about that God, when he saw how sinful men were, in NIV, it says, it, in his NLT, it says he broke his heart. His heart broke because he made us for that level of relationship. So we can expect to be able to approach him, to ask him, and to see him do things for us. He's waiting for us to do it. And sometimes he won't because we didn't ask. Okay, the last bit. So, I've missed that one, that doesn't matter, we'll keep going on. So, keep me from trouble and pain. I just want to, Mark referred to this earlier on in the meeting. Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 5. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us into himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. and it gave him great pleasure. So, key things. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms. He loved us and he chose us. He adopted us into his own family, and it gave him great, gives him great pleasure. That is the destiny that God has for us. That is why Jabez, although he'd never read this because it wasn't written at the time, could say, may I no longer live in pain and trouble. There was a destiny that he'd been set on that had started off by the way he was born, and he was saying, that's not the destiny I want to live. That's not the destiny. It was not the destiny that God has for me. And it wasn't like he had to plead with God. God already had another destiny for him. All he had to do was step into it, ask God for it. And I think that it's really important that we understand that there is, we've been talking about hope last week, that God has a destiny for us. He has a purpose. And for all of us, he planned it, it says, from the beginning of time in other scriptures. And we can choose to opt into that and live in the fullness of that, or we can choose to be those that struggle under pain and difficulty and fear and anxiety. God wants to set you free, and he has a plan to set you free. We just need to embrace that plan. So just to pull together his prayer, Lord, will you bless me? Lord, will you expand my territory? Lord, will you be with me in all that I do? That's the blessing of, really just the precious thing. And keep me from all trouble and pain. And I can pray that because God's given me a testimony. So let's just look again in summary. Colossians 1:22 says that we were alienated in our minds from God, but Jesus reconciled us. And if we have a wrong mindset, then that wrong mindset will alienate us from that relationship with God. We won't actually see the things that God has for us, wants for us. We can't respond because we think wrong. You know, I've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. How can I feed 5,000 people? You know, I'm sitting at home, I've got no job, I've got no chance. And I get a phone call out of nowhere. You know, a wrong mindset alienates us from God. But if we have the right mindset, if we have that expectation that God wants to bless us, then, and we choose to ask him for things, then he will do it. We can live in the reality of that. Expand my territory. God wants to change our mindsets, to expand our imaginations as what is possible through him. Okay? Romans talks about, Mark actually read it earlier, didn't you? Or was that in the prayer meeting? In the prayer meeting. Yeah, Romans 12:2 about being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your minds, so you may fulfill the will of God, God's perfect will. So we need a fresh mind. We need to step out of the imposition of the world's thinking so that we can think the way God wants us to think, and then we can start to expand what we believe he wants us to do for us now. Be with me in all that I do. God wants us to do with us and not do it on his own. He wants to be with us in it. Because God desires close relationship. I've already mentioned the Genesis verse where it broke his heart when we were separated from him. And keep me from all trouble and pain. It's too easy to live in a mindset molded by past experiences and what other people think. People impose things on us. When I was teaching, one of my battles particularly was when people would say that child is a level 5 child, or that child is an A star, or an A child, or a B child. That child, the minute you stick that label on that child, then that's the expectation, and that's what they'll be. But if they say you have to say they're working at this particular level. If you're working at level 5, then they've got a chance to improve. But if you say they're a level 5, they're stuck. And it's easy for us to take on board the labels that the world has put on us. And God wants to break that mindset. He's given us a different name, a different purpose, and a different destiny. So I want to finish by What's the challenge? Challenge is, we just need to ask, God, change my mindset. God, can you bless me? God, can you expand my borders? God, can you, I've forgotten the other one now. God, can you be with me in all that I do? God, can you keep me and release me from my trouble and pain? There may be some repentance in there, because we might have been trying on our own for too long. We need to ask him forgiveness to try and doing it on our own. But then we can ask him to change us. I wonder, so our response is, what do we need to ask? Where do we need to ask for God's blessing? Where does God want to expand your imagination for how he can use you to bring change into the lives of your family, friends and neighbours? What situations do you need to talk to God about rather than trying to resolve them yourselves? Where do you need God to open your eyes to the identity he has given you rather than living with the identity shaped by the world? Just to help us in our response, I've got a song that I came across. So I just want you to listen to this, and just as you think about what God's saying to you, then you can respond in the song.
Jesus' blood wash over me. Command my soul.
you for listening to this podcast by Lifeline Church. We hope this message has been an encouragement to you. We are a relational church with a passion to demonstrate God's love to one another and our surrounding community in real and practical ways. We believe that God has called us to have an impact on our families, our communities, and our nation. We'd love to connect further with you, so please do visit our website at lifelinechurch.co.uk, on Facebook, lifeline.church.uk, or Twitter at lifelineuk.